It won't happen. We're on a diplomatic mission.
To whom? From where? If I had a credit for every time someone tried that line, you wouldn't be talking to me now. There was a long pause.
All right, then. What will it cost for you to let us go?
Jet looked at Shinko, who was calling the shots. Shinko's true employers were the Huts, and sometimes a bribe was worth as much as booty after the cartels took their cut. The Rhodian shook his head.
You're clear out of luck, mate,
Jet told the person on the other end of the comm.
Best vent those airlocks, smartish. We're coming in and don't want to scuff the merchandise any more than we have to.
The Star Cruiser had nothing to say to that. Shinko barked into a communicator as Jet brought the sublights into play.
Vec, Gels, get ready for action.
The two Celestins were part of Shinko's treacherous lot, and Jet wouldn't mind if they paid the price for the mutineer's haste. Jet had a strong feeling the cruiser wasn't going to give up lightly. Its lines were too lean, its hull too polished. The name on its starboard side, the only ID it was sporting, said Cinzia, in bold black letters, recently affixed. That showed pride. No, the owners of this ship might not be above offering a bribe to continue on their way, but they wouldn't roll over easily. Few did these days, with the Empire and the Republic still at each other's throats, lacking but a declaration to call their squabbling an honest war. People were taking the law into their own hands. There was so much to lose, and so little to gain on every front. So much for the Treaty of Coruscant, and so much for avoiding unnecessary bloodshed, he thought, reminded of Vec and Gels. Be it red or green, blood was all the same. The less spilled around him, the smaller the chance it would be his one day.
What are we going to tell our former boss when we haul in empty?
That's not my problem,
gloated Shinko.
On Flimsy, you're still captain of the Auriga Fire. It's your job to come up with an excuse the Republic will believe. I'll be long gone before then, with the credits.
True to form, then, the Rhodian was planning to stiff Jet at both ends of the deal. That changed everything. Jet glanced at Clunker, who was standing innocently in front of the entrance to the cockpit. No one would get in past him if push came to shove. More important, no one would get out. Barely had the Auriga Fire closed half the distance between the two ships when Jet's misgivings about the cruiser were violently justified. A scattering of red lights danced across the instrument panels. A buzzer harshly sounded. Jet studied the display for a split second, making absolutely certain of what he was seeing, before raising every shield to full and punching the sublights to maximum. The Auriga Fire rolled edge-on to the cruiser, and Shinko staggered backward. Clunker caught him, deftly twisting the blaster out of the Rhodian's grasp as he did so. At that moment, the Star Cruiser that should have been their prize exploded, sending a blast of pure white light through every viewport, screen, and shield. Jet had done more than just back the ship away. He had covered his eyes, and now he peered warily through his fingers at instruments gone completely haywire. There was barely anything left where the Cinzia had been. Thuds and clangs registered on the hull as bits of the Star Cruiser rocketed by. Shinko was barking into his communicator again, quick on the uptake, but not quick enough by half.
Who fired? Who ordered you to fire?
No one did, Jet said. The ship blew itself up.